said and done for the glory of God. Thank you to all those people yesterday that worked so hard to make everything happen here with all the visitors that we had, and the young people and the old people alike. I was able to kind of browse around and talk to people, particularly people that I'd never met before, a lot of visitors, and that's good. Met some people that said they watched our program quite a bit, our church services, and they don't live around here, but they watch our services, and they're trying to get their kids to come. So it's a well-thought-out outreach program to try to reach other people, and they did a great job of it. Thank you so much. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 John. We'll be in 1 John this morning. If you want to find out one of the authors in the Bible that wrote more about love, perhaps, than anyone, then it'd be John. And he that loveth much, of course, wants to express that love. So God permitted, God orchestrated, and spoke to John to write about the love of God, and about the love that we have for him and how he loved us. So it's very fitting this morning. We could spend a lot of time just talking about the subject love. Let's read from 1 John chapter 4 this morning. We will begin in verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. One night this week, the Lord woke me up. I got to bed about 1 something, the usual. And the Lord woke me up at 3:22 and burdens on my heart for people hurting, for people that's really going through hard times, just burdens. So when God does that, I just get up and go out of the room and go to another room and pray. Tired and wearied as I was, I had a lot to talk to God about. I said I had a lot to talk to him about. Didn't give him a chance to talk to me because I was tired and weary. So I was praying mostly for the needs of other people. But then I went back to bed, and the Lord spoke to my heart and says, well, that was nice. You asked me all these prayer requests, but you didn't give me time to talk to you. Isn't that the way we do a lot? Hey, listen, God's got a lot more to say than we do. A lot more important than us do. So he said, just get up and take your Bible with you this time and open your Bible. And I'm in control of everything in your life. And wherever it falls open, that's what you're going to meditate on. And that's what I'm going to give you for saying. See, I don't choose my own messages. God does. So I'm talking about the love of God. And I remembered back in February this year, the Lord gave me messages on the love of God. And I preached 2 different times on that. But this message is not anything like those, because I'm talking about the amazing love of God this morning. The amazing love of God. If every preacher in America called by God would spend the next 40 or 50 messages preaching on the love of God, all combined, we could not even touch the subject, because God's love is so amazing, and the peace of God is so strong in their heart. But let's just embark a little bit, because John, being the author, the Holy Spirit, being the one that instructed him, let's just look at these verses that we read, and I want to look at four different thoughts from this. First of all, look in verse 15, at the love that the Father has for his Son. When you look at that verse, and it's a God loved his Son, God loves us. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwelleth in him. God dwelleth in him and he in God. The verse expresses about the love of God dwelling in us, but it also gives us the strong message about Jesus and the Father. Because, see, when you confess that Jesus is the light of the world, God is pleased in that. And God is so pleased. Sometimes I just take time, it takes me 2 or 3 days, to do a study on the communication, as far as we know in the Word of God, that God the Father and the Holy Ghost and Jesus has this communication. We don't understand all that's going on in the throne room. And I guess the first emphasis that we have is in the book of Genesis, when they said, let us create the world. And so God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the union that they had with each other, and this union, this love that God had, and you can only imagine how you love your children is all I can, my grandchildren, all the love I can have in my being, I love my children. But you see, you and I don't have the capacity for love as God does. So we look at the Father, how he loved his Son. And yet, loving the Son that much, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The love that God had for his Son was so rich, but yet he was willing. In fact, the Bible says it pleased him, God, to have his own Son bruised. Why would God do that? It expresses the love that God had for you and for me. And as much as God loved his Son, more than we can ever explain or think about, then God loved this world. Because without Jesus coming into this world, without him paying the supreme price and sacrifice, none of us, no one from Adam's race all the way down to the last innocent baby that's born, would be able to go to God, because we sin. We fell short. We fell into sin. We were birthed into sin. Eve is the mother of all living. And Eve and her husband Adam died. The day they sinned, God says, you will surely die. So the ability to commune with God was dead in them from that day on. But God, in his rich in mercy, came and offered them a sacrificial lamb, and it took the blood and offer them a covering for their sins. It was a covering that they covered their nakedness, which is a type that you and I, we have that nakedness. We can't appear before God because we have sin in our life. But God supplied his Son's blood to cover that iniquity. And now we look how God loved his Son, but yet God loved us and was willing. So look at verse 16 and 17 and look at the longings of our heart. See, when God made man, he put within man the desire to have communion with God, to have fellowship with God. And it seems that every day God would come down and stroll and walk with Adam in the garden. But this particular day he came and he knew what Adam had done. Adam was ashamed. He hid himself. So that longing that he had in his heart to commune with God was dead until God offered a sacrifice. And when you and I are born, that desire is still in there. And it's a desire. And when we're born in this world as a little child, we don't know a lot. But then we're taught the words of God and the love of God. And then the Holy Spirit takes over. At that day that we reach the age of accountability, whatever it is, and it starts much earlier than that, the parents, it's their job to take the children and the grandchildren to hear the words of God and let the words of God be preached and taught to them. And then when they reach that age of accountability, the Holy Spirit speaks And they're not a stranger to it because they've already heard in their mind, in their intellect, about the love of God. But then the Holy Spirit takes over. And look at verses 16 and 17, and look at the longing in their heart, and it can be fulfilled by this precious, amazing love of God. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. We know and believe it because God was willing to give his only Son, which he loved, for our sins. God is love. We cannot imagine the love of God that's so perfect. He was willing to provide a beautiful universe, and we don't see all the universe. They're still exploring it with their wonderful cameras, and that's great. Isn't it amazing? And the more they see, the more they understand that there's more out there that they haven't seen. Amazing love of God that created all this beauty. And God is love. He expresses that love to us. And the Bible says we have known it. And God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. That love is so pure, so rich, so amazing that when God plants his love in their heart, a seed of faith, and the Holy Spirit puts that seed of faith in their heart. And I've talked to people, and you probably have too, that says, I just don't have enough faith. But in their mind, in their heart, they want to have more faith. So God implants, by the Holy Ghost, a seed of faith. And when that seed of faith is explored, and they make an effort to know more about God, and they're willing to ask him forgiveness of their sins, then God will explain and let them believe in thine heart. I can't do that, even for myself, nor you. I didn't know how to believe in my heart. I believed in my head all my life, but there was something missing. It was not fulfilled. It was not complete. But the Holy Ghost came to me and showed me. It's a simple transaction for him. And all I had to do was have a yearning, have a desire, a longing in my heart to have the love for God that he had for me. I didn't know much theology, if any, at a 12-year-old boy, but I knew I was lost. And that's all I needed to know, because the Holy Ghost took over from there and showed me, because I was willing to confess that God is love, and God gave his Son to die in my stead. So verse 16 in tardy again. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. That wonderful day that God spoke to my heart and told me to believe in him, and I accepted him. He dwells in me. And along with the package came love. See, God forgives our sins. He takes away all the sins and all the transgressions that we have done. And God forgives us of that. He replaces those sins with the love of God dwelling in him, and him and me. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect. The word perfect in the Hebrew means, and in the Greek means, fulfilled. God is made perfect, and you and me, that longing that we had, it was empty because we didn't know God. And if you don't confess your sins and ask him to forgive you, that longing in your heart will never be fulfilled. And the word perfect means fulfilled. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. The boldness means that we have freedom. We'll have freedom. In the day of judgment, our sins are forgiven. Our sins are in the past, because if we have believed in God, he has taken those sins, he has cast them as far as from east and the west, and then they are no more remembered. Therefore, being made perfect or fulfilled in love, then God says he will give us the freedom, because sin's gone. And when God comes and we give an answer to God, it's all because the blood has been supplied. In fact, today, He says he is the one that's sitting on the right side of the throne of God. He is our advocate. That means he's the one that we come to when we sin. And just because you're saved doesn't mean that we do not sin. We do sin. We transgress. And James says that any man know to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So none of us could say, I've done everything. See, that night I got up and usually go out and pray, and I'm so tired and weary. It's no problem to ask God, do this, do this, do this. But then we're so tired and weary. Or do we really want to take time to listen to him? Because he's got some things to say to us, maybe to make some mid-course corrections. Remember, we're ambassadors for him. And it seems as though in this journey of life, as we're traveling through this world, as we're making all the plans that we make, we're citizens of heaven, citizens of America that we heard about, thank God. When the day I got saved, I became a citizen of a new country, and there is a longing in my heart. And that longing in my heart in this world has been fulfilled because the peace of God that passeth all understanding comes to us along with that love. And the rest, as we are, because as he is, so are we in this world. I've preached a lot about that subject throughout the years, because as he is, he was hated. He just was despised in this world. And if you're a true blue Christian and you live for him and you express in your life among all the heathens out there and you stress what God wants you to do, you're also hated in this world. As he is in this world, so are we. That means we ought to have the mind of Christ. So let's look, Father. We've seen the longings of our heart fulfilled. But then we can be living in this life without fear. Look at verse 18. There is no fear in love. The word fear has a connotation that means worry. You hear the news. You see the sickness, you see the travail, you see the direction our nation is headed in, and you worry. And worry causes fear to come. When you worry so much, you start having the fear of what's going to happen in the economy. What's going to happen to all the people that don't have food to eat and heat to heat their houses? And we start fearing and we start worrying. But there's a solution to that. Look what he says. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Perfect love casteth out, gets rid of. If you have something in your heart and life that you don't want to have, perhaps a bad habit, perhaps, you know, you're hateful or you have a temper. You ought to be able to get God's help, and he's available. Say, Lord, help me. Help me cast it out. I don't want this fear, because when I start worrying, you know what worry is? Lack of trust in God. And he says we can have that cast out. Perfect love. We've already read about perfect love. Fulfillment love. When God comes into my heart, he wants to fulfill all your needs. He wants to have that love placed in you that will absolutely cast out. I've been in a situation before with certain things in my family happening, and the fear could not come in. There was no room for it, because at that particular time, the love of God was so permeating me and so full of me. I mean, if you have a glass of water and it's full, it won't hold any more. Nothing else can come in unless some of that goes out. That's the way it is. If you have that perfect love of God dwelling in you and you are allowing it to fulfill everything in your life and heart for God, then fear cannot come in. It's cast out. It's done away with. And God enables us to be able to do that. He said we can live without fear. There is no fear in love. I've done word studies before on all, and every time in the Bible it means inclusive, everything. We'll do a word study on the word no, and it means zero, absolutely none. Not 5%, not 10%. There is no fear in love. If we allow him to place that love in their heart, which if you're saved, you've already done, and then as he is in this world, so are we. He went through this world and he was in constant communication with the Father. Sometimes early in the morning, he would arise and go down by the sea, or he was out and the disciples heard him pray. And can you only imagine? I've been in services before that I know it's not polite when people are praying to look up at him, but I've been in a service before where the man of God was in the pulpit and praying in the spirit, and I had to open my eyes because when I did, I thought I would see Jesus standing right there. The communication that he had with the Lord Jesus Christ at that time was so real, as if they were standing there. And it can be like that in my life and yours. And when that love is perfectly fulfilled as he wants it to be, as the desire of our heart is, then there is no fear. Because worry cannot come in. It will come to your mind, but if you will allow him, say, Lord, help me, I don't want this worry, I don't want this fear, he will help you cast it aside. And then that peace of God, which passeth all understanding. And then he says, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. He's already told us there's no fear in love. And then he reiterates and lets us know how true that statement is. Because if you do have fear, then look what he says in the last part of verse 18. He that feareth, if we fear and we allow that fear, I didn't say the thought wouldn't come to you, the worry and fear, but if you dwell on it, if your mind is intent and you're not willing to cast it out and let him help you cast it out, then he says, we're not made perfect in love. Something's lacking. That love that he places in their heart can and will cast all the fear and worry aside. If you know how many people, and I don't know, but a lot of people's health is ruined and is in the state of being ruined because of worry and fear. You need to repent if that's the case and say, God, help me trust you. Let that love that abides in me that you placed when you forgave my sin, let it cast out fear. And let it be with me what you expect it to be. Number four, it leaves us with the ability to love others. Now, I realize, as well as you do, that everybody is not easy to love. In fact, some of them are quite hard. In fact, some of them are so hard to love, you tend to stay away from them because they're just not going to love you back. And they'll let you know. I mean, that's just where it is. But look what happens in verse 20 and 21. If that perfect love that he puts in their heart, if we have allowed it to cast that fear, it also has something else that will help us. It will give us the ability, that love ability, to love others. And that's a big chore, but the Lord can handle it. Verse 20 and 21. If a man say, I love God. It's easy to say it. And we sing the song, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. That's wonderful. I love it, don't you? But listen at the verse. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. I didn't say that. God did. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? A lot of people have been hurt by others. In fact, you probably, if you really knew, talked to 100 people, that's saved. And if, you know, even if they're 15, 16, almost all of them, if they're honest, will say, somebody has hurt me. It could be somebody in the family, but we've been hurt. But forgiveness is possible if that love of God is in there. I was talking to someone this week, and I don't call names, wasn't here in the church, but someone somewhere else, something had happened. Other people had treated them really bad. And they were going to, you know, not hurt the other person, but they were going to a court of law to let that get straightened out. And then they just couldn't do it. And God even gave them a dream one night, and their father and mother is in heaven now, and allowed the dream to say that the mother spoke to them and said, drop it. Drop it. And Dad in the background, she heard say, listen to your mother. Drop it. And this person says, I could not go ahead and pursue trying to get even or trying to get what I deserve because someone else treated me wrong. What caused that? The love of God inside them being manifest. Didn't want to hurt someone else. It was really a lack of forgiveness. If we are not willing to forgive, listen to the verse again. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, and if you let that hurt continue without asking God to get rid of that hurt or worry or fear, it will consume you. It will take roots. You say, I'm not going to hate him. Just keep on dwelling on it, how you've been hurt, how you've been wounded. Keep on dwelling on it, and that appetite will get roots, and you'll start hating. You'll even hate the thought of anything about him, but you can dismiss it. Look carefully. And verse 21, and this commandment have we from him, a commandment of God. That doesn't mean a suggestion. We have a commandment from God that he who loveth God love his brother also. Now, if you love your brother, you can't hate him. Love casteth out fear. Love casteth out hatred, envy, jealous. And a lot of people are jealous because they think a lot of things, you know, somebody got their job that I deserved at work, or a lot of things, and pretty soon that jealousy, that envy will cause you to actually hate. God says, I'll cast it out if you will let me. And if you don't, you're not obeying the commandments of God. Lastly, the love of God is perfected. Let's look at one other scripture to see that we've already touched on. But now let's look at 1 John chapter 5. He reiterates that word perfected, remembers being fulfilled. Verse 3, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Isn't that interesting? He just got through telling us the commandment is that you love your brother, and if you love him, you can't have any, even a small portion of hate inside. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So if we love God, we will let that love dwell in us. It'll cast that fear. It'll cast that worry. It'll cast that hatred, bitterness, jealousy, envy, the whole lot, gone. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandment, he told us again, just so we make sure we understand from chapter 4, now he's saying, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. He's direct, isn't he? That's wonderful. I love the word of God. I love mathematics. I never did like English in school. You can tell that by my broken English. Because you do a term paper or you do something, and even though you've done the best you can, and you think you've done excellent, and maybe you did, but you give it to a teacher, and all teachers look at it differently, and it's not subjective, you know. You may, well, I deserve 99 or 100 on that, and they may give you a 70. I've had it happen to me before. I was doing a paper in college one time on God and on the Holy Spirit in a secular school, and they didn't appreciate it, and they said, I don't understand this. Didn't get a very good grade on it. But you see, mathematics, I always liked geometry, and because 1 plus 1 is 2, 2 times 2 is 4, and nothing can change that. Well, the Word of God is so pure, nothing can change. And the commands of God are so easy to understand. It's not subjective to anyone else's thinking. It's so clear. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not him. We're talking about the love of God perfected. Look at verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected or fulfilled. The love of God is fulfilled. Now, he came in to save you. That's wonderful. Your sins are gone, and you have union with him. But now we have communion with him, fellowship with him. That's important, because as if we let the love of God permeate us and is it fulfilled in us, it'll cause us to treat our brother as ourselves. In fact, we won't hurt him and we won't let what he does hurt us. Is that possible? Absolutely. He wouldn't have said it if it wasn't possible. And so we know then that his love is being made perfect in us, being fulfilled, and we can go about loving our brother. And you can see the expression on your face, that pure love that comes out. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Two more verses and we're closing. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Isn't that something? And his commandments are not grievous. He says, my commandments aren't grievous. You ever been in school and you have a teacher that was overbearing and they wasn't fair and back in school? I had a teacher one time in the fifth grade. I got off the bus and I had to walk a mile and a half to the house uphill. And that wasn't so bad, except this teacher made you empty your desk every evening and take every book you had. Didn't have computers in those days, so we had a lot of books. And I had a stack of books that big. I had to carry home every night. Wasn't going to open, wasn't going to look at, but he wouldn't let you leave any book in that desk, making you do unbearable things. Religion would do that to you, but his commandments are not grievous. They're not hard. Boy, I was happy when that fifth grade was over. I'm proud that back in those days that I didn't hate him. He never retaught after that. He was only teaching for a year or two so he could get enough money to go back to school to become a doctor. And I never have seen him after that. I didn't hate him, but I sure didn't appreciate what he's doing to me. There is a difference. But now he says that love of God can be perfected. Look at verse 21 of Jude chapter 1. This is our job. This is the conclusion of the amazing grace of God. We've looked at all those things, but I want to look at this for a minute. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. God is a merciful God. God is a gracious God. God gives us these opportunities to be more like him. As he is in the world, so are we. But look at the verse. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That love of God that's fulfilling you, getting rid of all the fear, the worry, the jealousy, the envy, the strife, the unlikeness of Jesus. Keep yourself in that love of God, allowing that love of God to permeate and make you perfect. And then we're looking for the mercy of God. Do you realize the more we have Christ in us, the more mercy we have? We are recipients of mercy. We need the mercy of God. We haven't done anything to deserve anything. So without his mercy, we're ruined. But you realize how to let that mercy of God towards you be multiplied. I didn't say just added. See, God uses the word multiplied. The disciples in Jerusalem were multiplied, not just added, but God multiplies. And I like 1 + 1 = 2, and 1 more is 3, and 1 more is 4. You don't get anywhere like that. But in multiplication, 2 times 2 is 4, and 4 times 4 is 16, it gets big. The mercy of God can be multiplied in your life by allowing, permitting, living the life, as the Jew says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. Would you stand this morning, your heads are bowed? The amazing love of God. Once it gets in there, not only can it save you and get you headed toward heaven, but it can allow you to live a life that's full of hope, strength. Wouldn't it be good if every one of us would say, I'll never worry again? The thought may be there, but you don't have to let it come in and permeate you. The love of God in you can dismiss it. Next time you start worrying, or you're afraid, or you have fear, say, love will keep that out. Perfect love. Keep yourself in the love of God. Would you please come to the piano and organ? Whatever God puts on your heart, play. Altar is open. This is not a message that I came up with. God gave me this message, and it was for someone. He even told me when it was to be preached. Whatever your need is, you may be struggling with something. All these things we talked about, but that love of God, if you allow Him to allow that love of God in you to push out all these things, then the mercy of God is increased and the grace is multiplied in your life. Whatever your need is this morning, as they play. By salvation, what an opportunity it would be, Lord. Because without Christ, you get bitter. There's an emptiness in there. Never been saved, boy, that emptiness just gets hatred, bitterness, variance, on. And it gets roots, it gets worse. Your life's miserable. And you'll end up in the lake of fire, place of the damned. But we don't have to let it. All we have to do is accept what He wants to do. Salvation. The love of God. It must be strong love. As much as we know, or as much as we hope to know how much God loved His Son. More than you love your children. A billion times more, because He's God. Yet God permitted His Son to bleed and die for you and for me. Isn't that amazing? Amazing love of God. It can permeate you. It can make you perfect or fulfilled as you go through this life, head to another place in heaven. But this journey can be, I didn't say trouble wouldn't come. I didn't say others won't hate you. In fact, it doesn't matter what they do. It's what I do in response. That's the key. We're playing the song, Come Home. I love that old song. All ye that are weary, come home. You may be saved, but you're not living the life pleasing before Him because you're not letting perfect love. It could be perfect. You're not letting it be fulfilled for whatever reason. How sad. Thank you for coming, Brother Gunn, and pray with us and for us.
I think it's my Sunday for announcements. If you check your bulletin, there's a wealth of information in there, but I want to remind you about the Native Christmas shoeboxes. You know, it takes a lot of effort to put all that stuff together and to sort it. So if you're going to do something, you know, the sooner the better. I'll say it like that. And then the children's musical, that's on the 13th. Don't forget that. And also, we're having a church social on the night of the 13th. And all that information's in the bulletin. And I've probably forgotten something, but I also wanted to say, really appreciate everybody, your efforts yesterday on the outreach. And I know a lot of people think that's just candy, but it's not. We gave out a lot of New Testaments. We gave out a lot of tracts. We gave out a lot of the John Romans booklets. I don't know if everybody is familiar with those, but and you know, there's people that we're talking, we're asking about Jesus, about church, and different things like that. So it is a Christian-based outreach.
Thank you, Josh.
Well, Jason informed me that there would be youth choir practice immediately following the service this morning. Josh already mentioned concerning the musical coming up. Miss Rita asked me to this Sunday, November 13th at 6 p.m. down by the Creek Bank. She asked that we desire your prayers and support. As we already have seven different churches on board being a part of this musical, we encourage the youth to be a part, as we prayerfully are hoping this will increase the church, Sunday school, and Awanda attendance. So please be in prayer for that. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we want to thank you this morning for your love. We're eternally grateful. Father, despite our sin, despite our ways, Lord, you bestowed your love upon us. And Father, I pray that you would help us and increase our desire to love those things that you love, despise the things you despise. Lord, I pray that you'd guide our paths, Lord, in a way, Father, that we could show the love of God to a lost and dying world. Lord, I thank you for this church and our pastor, Father. You've blessed us. You've helped us. And Father, you've brought us through many troubles and trials. But Father, I pray most of all we could uplift the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, Father, that many would come to the saving knowledge. And we love you, Father. We praise you. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us and all you want to do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.